You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on
KISO
88.7
Avalon.
How you doing? This is Ron Truppo with the Catalina Film Festival and the Catalina Film Society screening series that we're continuing this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Hotel Metropole in the conference room. It's right behind the M restaurant, and you can get through it right through the Metropole Market Square. Today's interview is with director and co-producer and co-editor Jay Gammel. Worked on the film Free Samples with Jesse Eisenberg, Jason Ritter, Tippi Hedren, and starring Jess Wexler. If you would like to come out and see Jay's work, feel free and RSVP at CatalinaFFFilmFestival.org.
How you doing? This is Ron Schrupa with the Catalina Film Society. I am on the phone with Jay Gammel. He is the director and the co-producer of the film Free Samples, which we will be showing this Saturday at 7 p.m. Come out and check it out. It's going to be a fun little comedy drama, otherwise known as a dramedy. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm good, Ron. How are you?
Awesome, thank you. And thank you so much for offering up your piece of art to us. We have a very appreciative Film Society membership that is looking forward to it. We got a lot of RSVPs. So,
oh, excellent.
Should be great. Jay, let me ask you, and again, I always preface this, I only go by IMDb, which doesn't always have everybody's credits in its entirety, but you've got a lot of editing credits. Did you start off as an editor?
I did start out as an editor. I went to grad school at USC for film, and I emphasized in directing and editing, and so right out of school, I got into editing, and I've been doing commercials and television and a couple other. I was a co-editor on Free Samples as well. And then this project was my first feature, so this was always something I was wanting to do, but you got to always be doing like three or four different things to make it.
Sure, right. Yeah, and I noticed it is your first feature. The only other one I think you worked on was Hello, My Name is Charlie as an editor. Was that a feature as well, or was that a short?
That was a feature. That was made by a classmate of mine from USC, and that was my first foray into editing features, and so it was a great experience. And then it only helped, you know, making it. The one thing about feature films is, from coming from short films, is the feature feels like this big thing that you can never do. But once you do it, and then having that experience as an editor, I just like, oh no, this is very doable. It's just a bigger scale and a bigger story, but that's just much more exciting because you can do more with it.
Right. It's just like a bigger platform to be more creative, and sometimes, if you do it correctly, tell a better narrative, because you run out of time sometimes with the short genre.
Absolutely.
So is your main goal right now to be a director, or do you like doing... I see you even have visual effects on your resume. I mean, is that something that you want to do? Do you like the whole idea of producing, writing, directing, editing, or what would you like to focus in?
Right now I'm focusing on directing, but I'm moving towards writing, directing, and then still keeping on editing as a side gig. One thing about editing is that it really informs... you know, I learned so much from it from a storytelling point of view. So it just helps my directing go more smoothly. And as I'm directing, I can kind of see, oh, no, I need this. Or I can see it all cut together in my head as I'm shooting it, which is a great advantage.
Yeah, and that was my next question. It seems to be that a lot of editors tend to be great directors because of that, because you almost can see the final cut without too much of the extra in your brain while you're shooting or while you're laying out your shot list. So do you find that obviously helps you, and you know, you get like the little cutaways, or you'll get the little safeties that you think you need as an editor? while you're shooting?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, but you know, I really love being on set. So there's nothing that replaces that feeling. That is so much fun. That is so much fun.
Yeah. And when you were in the room as co-editor, is that hard? Is that hard when you're an editor? And I have edited myself in the past. I think it's some of my most credits on IMDb versus my other credits as even a producer. But I find sometimes it's hard to give away some of the control when you're editing because it's such an intimate experience in the cave that it's hard to co-edit. How did that work? Especially if you directed it and you kind of found your shots that you liked. How did you give up and relinquish the co-editor spot?
Sure. Well, I one thing I learned at USC was you can actually have a better film if you don't edit your own projects.
Right.
So, but with this film, we're so indie that we really wanted to. We're all wearing five or six different hats, but I really wanted to bring on an editor to take control, and then I would supplement as needed to meet our deadlines and for film festivals, submissions, and things like that. So ultimately, I deferred to our other editor, Franklin Peterson. I really wanted him to go for it and go at it and do whatever he wanted to do. Because as a director, I'm thinking about what I wanted to shoot. I'm thinking about how I felt on set. And so an editor who was not there, who didn't direct it, will have so much more objectivity. But also they can find new ways to craft a scene that I would never have come up with just by looking at watching the footage.
Sure.
So Franklin, our editor, he and I were friends from USC and we co-edited each other's thesis short films there. So I already had a relationship with him, great working relationship. So I really wanted to bring him on board this project, and then since then he's gone on to work on other films and he was an editor on Safety Not Guaranteed, and then a new film coming out called It's a Disaster. So he's been really thriving as an editor, which I'm really happy for. He's very talented.
Great. It's good to surround yourself with talent over at USC Film School.
Right. Well, and it's really tricky because everybody's asking favors and everyone who took on the project loved the film, loved pre-samples, the script and the cast and everything. And that was such a big part of it. And that's how it happens when you're first starting out. And we were very lucky. We had a great cast and really committed to the film. So that was, you can't ask for better than that.
Well, before I ask you how you got...
You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on
KISO
88.7.
Some of those cast members, especially being your first feature, I guess, how did you guys come about this script, this film, like, you know, because you have to dedicate, what, a good couple of years of your life when you decide to take on a project. How did it come to you?
Sure, yeah. We're at about 5 years right now.
Wow, really?
I met the screenwriter coming out of film school, and he had seen my thesis film, and he's a screenwriter based out of New York, and he just got in touch with me, and I really had no idea who he was, but he had won some screenplay contests, and he had written some scripts, and I really fell in love with his work, and I just thought, like, oh my gosh, I love this guy's writing, it's so organic and witty, and it fit the types of stories that he was wanting to tell, fit the types of stories that I was interested in, which was stories of identity and kind of finding yourself, some very coming of age stories. And so we just worked together, and then I said, I would love to work with you, but I think we should start with something that's shootable for a really low budget. And so he pitched me on the idea of Free Samples, and then I loved it, and then he wrote it, and then this was probably in summer of 2008, and that's when it all started. And so we spent the next 2.5 years getting cast interested, and then meeting with producers, and then it finally came together in the fall of 2010 when we shot this film. So it's been quite a process, but then we just started the festival circuit last year, and it just keeps going. So
so you kind of got like Jesse Eisenberg just as he was ready to break. I think Jason Ritter was doing some stuff, but he wasn't, you know, fully out there as, you know, Jason Ritter,
right?
You know, with his career. And I mean, so were they on your radar at the time? Like, because I mean, that was they were breaking. Like,
we couldn't have planned it better if we had tried. So Jesse was involved with another project with actually the same screenwriter back in 2007, 2008, and that was before he broke, certainly. And then that project, they never made that film. That film never got made. But just through that relationship, he read our script, Free Samples, and said, I would do a small part in this. And at the time, I was so excited because I knew him from Squid and the Whale. And then he'd also worked with Jason Ritter on Education of Charlie Banks. And so they were all, like, our key casts were very familiar with each other. And so it was just kind of like, hey, I know Jason, he might be interested. And so maybe he will be interested. And he was. And and then we always wanted Jess Wexler as our lead. And so, and I had seen her in Teeth and the other films that she'd done. She did a film with Jason Ritter, so it's a small world.
Yes, the small Hollywood circles.
right, I know.
It's like no matter how big you think this industry is, you always bump into the same people, and you're like, wait a minute, you know them too?
Keeps getting smaller. The longer you're here, the smaller it goes. So
it's true. It's very true. So that's great. And how did you get Jess? Like, what was the process with casting? I mean, was she the first one that you attached and then everything else kind of formed around her with, you know, her being the lead character?
So Jess and Jesse were the first people we had, first actors we had attached. She was the first one we approached. So we wanted, so Jim Beggarly, the screenwriter, and I, we talked a lot about who we would want for these roles, and certainly as not having made films before, feature films before, anybody who was interested was like, it was super exciting. But at the same time, like, these are very talented actors, and we got them interested at a time where, I don't know, it was right for them. So Jesse knew we wanted Jess, and then the rumor is, I don't know because I haven't actually asked him, but this is the story I'm told. He ran into her one day in New York at an audition and said, oh, hey, I know these guys that want you to be in their movie. And I'll send you the script. And that's really how it started. And then, she read it and she loved it, and we had her attached, and then we went from there. But it was really the two of them that we had them on board, and then when we came time to shoot it, it was following up with somebody, you know, with Jason, because he wasn't really attached, he was just interested. And but we'll see how it goes, because you never know, and we didn't have financing in place. And so that's always the key,
right?
To get the train in motion.
So you had everybody before you had the financing, which is usually rare.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's good, because if you get one, it's always a catch 22. So
right,
that's
right.
Good. And then like your cameo with Tippi Hedren. I mean, how does that happen?
That's a really funny story. The we didn't have her involved or attached or anything, but she was always somebody in my mind that I thought, oh, she'd be great for this role. But we just didn't think, we didn't actually think she'd be interested because it was a small movie, but we were very close to our production dates and we still had not cast. I really wanted somebody, so Tippi plays an actress from classical Hollywood who has kind of moved on with her life. So, but I really wanted somebody who had some connection to that actual life to play that role. And so while Tippi was a star and is a star, and we reached out to her. I mean, I remember the day, like my producer said, he said, Jay, I don't even know, it was like maybe a week before we were shooting. He said, Jay, who is your dream person for this role? I said, well, Tippi Hedren. They're like, well, let's give them a call.
Yeah.
So we called her agent, and she lives an hour outside of Los Angeles and didn't have email or anything. And so her agent said, I think she would actually like this. And so she drove the scripts up to her house that day and she loved it. And then the rest is history. But it was so lovely to work with her. I mean, that was certainly a dream come true.
Are you an Alfred Hitchcock fan?
Yes, yes. And I actually like her. She's known for The Bird, but there's another film, Marnie, that she's in, which is really fantastic.
Yeah,
Bird. So, that was such a treat.
That's awesome. I mean, seriously, your first step out into the, your directorial debut, those were some really cool synergies that were happening in the world for you. That's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Very, very lucky.
So then you went on the film festival circuit with this, and you got some really good festivals. You were in the Austin Film Festival. You were in Tribeca. Did you premiere
right.
Tribeca?
We premiered, Tribeca 2012. So just about almost a year ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, May.
You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on
KISO
88.7
Avalon.
Once it launched at Tribeca, then you kind of went on the other circuit. You to all the Uniteds, or were there, how many Uniteds did you go to? There's like three or four of them, right?
There are. We went to two of them.
Okay.
I attended one in San Francisco. That was fun.
It was such a
fun festival tour, and we were so at Tribeca we had a lot of our cast there, which is great, and then we just kind of kept going along, and I went to as many as I could go to, but it was so great to meet everybody at people who attend film festivals, because they're such film fans, and gosh, I mean. Being there and meeting those people who really enjoyed the movie, that's what I take away from it all. It's like,
sure.
Gosh, we were making a movie to connect with people, and it really did. And the people that love it, and that's what you hope for.
Right. Well, why would you make it otherwise, right? Not to entertain yourself, but to actually...
Right.
Get people involved and suck them into the storyline and I think everyone can relate about those transitional time periods in your life. And I should have asked you this earlier, but if you don't mind giving a synopsis for people that haven't seen it and will come see it this Saturday, if you
absolutely.
Give them a quick little synopsis.
Sure. Yeah, so Free Samples is a indie comedy about a law school dropout who runs an ice cream truck for a day on the streets of Los Angeles. And so she's handing out free samples of ice cream to strangers, crazy customers, and including a guy that she woke up next to the night before but has no memory.
Funny. So you find yourself.
Hey, sometimes it happens.
Yeah. Oh, it has, especially... many times in college when people have those stories and they're just like, I don't even know, man. I'm just going to bed.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, except our main character is doing a favor for her friend and she has to handle ice cream with a massive hangover.
That's funny. Yeah, and the trailer is really cute, too, because it shows a lot of, some interesting moments and dynamics
right.
with the characters and stuff. Like, she's just trying to go get some coffee, and she's like, no. Like, really? So, you're still on the festival circuit. Do you have any plans about kind of pulling back anytime soon and looking for distribution or, just some sort of, have you looked at those channels, VOD or a theatrical release, or are you still
Absolutely.
Negotiating?
Yeah, we started that process after we premiered at Tribeca, and then we're winding down for festivals. But good news is that we will have a release this spring. In a couple months, and so we have.
Great.
We haven't announced it yet, but any date.
You just did.
I just did. Well, we don't. The dates are still being figured out, but that's the only thing that is to be decided. But we're really excited, so we'll be doing some theatrical and certainly video on demand. So
cool.
You'll be able to catch it in many different ways very soon.
That's great, man. Now, have you parlayed this into your next project, or have you not even thought about a next project yet?
It's been, there's a lot of work involved with film festivals.
There is.
There is. But I'm working with Jim Beggarly, the same screenwriter, and we're working on a new project, a new script that he's written. So we're trying to get that off the ground, and then I'm attached on another film. It's similar state. So, everything is going as well as can be. We'll see what happens. I think one thing I learned that as a filmmaker, you want to really try to diversify or you want to have like 10 things going at the same time because you never know what's actually going to get made.
Right.
But with Free Samples, that was such a main focus. So, trying to do different things and doing some writing as well. So, excited to see what happens. Excited.
Yeah, and it's kind of the plight of a producer in general. To always have about 8 to 10 projects on your slate that you're constantly juggling and working on all at the same time. That's what I do in my office. It's just like you have to. There's so many things, there's so many shoes that can drop and then you got to pick it back up and put it on, and there's so much money that millions of dollars comes out of escrow and it's contingent on a director, it's contingent on an actor, and you got to start the whole process over again when they fall out, and you literally need about a good 8 to 10 projects just constantly in your slate to figure out which one's next.
Yeah,
and then, like, as soon as it hits principal photography, as a producer, anyway, you're working on the next one. You're like, well, we're on set now. I mean, we're ready to go with this other one. There's really no enjoyment for the actual process of making the film.
Yeah.
Leading up to it.
I mean, how cool is it to be doing that? But it is so much, I remember thinking, well, we'll celebrate when we're shooting. Well, we'll celebrate when we're shooting. We'll celebrate when we wrap. We'll celebrate after the rough cut.
Yeah. You'll celebrate on your epitaph.
Right.
I think it was fun.
I think it was fun. I had fun.
Yeah. No, we joke. I don't think we would do this if we didn't love it.
No, I know. It's pretty cool, isn't it? I'm excited to have people come out and see the film, and that'll be so fun. Actually, wish I could be there. I've never been to Catalina. If you can believe that. I know. One day.
Well, we'll have to get. Yeah, I mean, when that I mean, you'll be released by the time our festival is this year, but, you know, you're obviously more than welcome to come out to the festival. And, you know, any future projects, definitely get them into us.
Absolutely.
And come to that beautiful little Mediterranean island on the sea in the United States.
It's not too good to be true, is it?
It's a little bit too good to be true. It's a little bit too good to be true.
I love it. I love it.
People feel like they have to exchange currency when they come there. They're like, we're really in Los Angeles County? Really? No.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. So, Jay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we look forward to seeing your film this Saturday night at the Hotel Metropole Conference Room at 7 p.m. See free samples. You will definitely be entertained.
Yes, you will.
All right, man. Have a great day, and good luck with the rest of the process of this thing getting to us in the theaters.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rod.
In the spring. No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Talk to you. Bye.
You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on KISO 88.7
Avalon.